Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by
Catholic retailers, business owners, and ministry leaders. Don't miss the Catholic Marketing Network Momentum 2019 event. Attend seminars that teach how to apply best business practices to any kind of business or ministry. Experience one-of-a-kind networking opportunities and browse the trade show exhibit hall full of Catholic resources and gifts from all over the world. Visit CatholicMarketing.com trade show page to find out how you can be a part of this event that helps Catholics build personal and professional momentum. Celebrate our God-given freedom and faith while honoring our Blessed Mother with Ghirelli's USA Rosary. Each state is represented on this rosary's 50 beads. Red, white, and blue enamel adorn its patriotic crucifix. Get yours today. Shop www.ghirelli.com.
And welcome to our podcast. This is Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries, teaching what the Bible tells us are the best ways to handle money. How do we know they are the best ways? Well, we use the Bible as a resource. You see, in the Bible, there are 2,500 verses that show us how God would love us to handle money. These are gifts that He has provided us. And we teach these biblical principles in our small group Bible study, Navigating Your Finances God's Way. You can learn more by going to compasscatholic.org. The bottom line, our goal is to get you totally debt-free, no matter how large, no matter how small the debt may be. My name is Steve Holbrook, and with me, the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. Well, today, let's get into a discussion about paying off debt.
Oh, I like that kind of talk.
I knew you two would love this topic. And wouldn't you say, too, that paying off debt is a lot like going on a diet?
You skip meals, you do fad food diets, you get your stomach stapled up, you start drinking shakes and eating bars, and you know, you can go on and on and on with all these fad diets. But guess what? The best way to lose weight is to change your lifestyle.
And that's why so many people turn to those fad diets, because changing your lifestyle, eating right and exercising is hard work. And they're looking for the easy fix. And the same thing applies when people are trying to pay off debt.
You're right. There's a lot of ideas about how you can get out of debt, fast and easy ones. But not all of them work. And some of them are really unhealthy for your financial future. So paying off debt is a lot like losing weight. You got to be disciplined. You got to do the right things. And if you truly want to get out of debt, you need to figure out how you can spend less, earn more, and save.
And I think spend smarter. I mean, there's lots of ways where you can buy things in a smarter way that'll help you save money too.
That's true. That's true. If you take the time and effort to make the necessary lifestyle changes, then by the time your debt is paid off, you're going to be far less likely to rack up a whole bunch of more debt.
And I think that's what happens a lot when people lose weight using a fad diet. They lose weight, they keep it off for 3-4 months, and then all of a sudden they weigh more than they did when they started. And if people use quick, easy fixes to get out of debt, sometimes they end up in more debt after 3 or 4 years than they had when they started. So the quick, easy fix is not a permanent fix in many cases.
So let's talk about what some of those quick, easy fixes are so you don't make the mistake of falling into a quick, easy trap.
Well, I think one of the worst ones is a debt consolidation loan. And that's when you get a loan to pay off all your debts. And it's really not a good idea because you're really not paying off debts. You're just trading a whole bunch of little debts for one big debt.
Okay, but it sure sounds like a simple fix.
Yeah, but people don't go through the discipline of changing their lifestyle. And they're not learning how to manage their money more smartly. They're just moving debt from one place to another. So they're covering up the real issue.
So you've got to be disciplined, okay, right?
Right.
You've got to be smart.
Right.
So what you've got to do then is change your lifestyle, right?
Yeah, when they do the debt consolidation, they're really just covering up the real issue because they feel good because they're making one big payment instead of eight smaller payments. But that really isn't accomplishing the lifestyle change that they needed to do. You still have the same amount of debt.
Yeah, and the thing of it is, most times when people are doing that, they're paying off credit card debt. And so they wipe out all their credit card debt and they think, hallelujah, now I can spend again.
But those credit cards with zero balance are calling their name.
But when you go through a debt consolidation, don't they try to educate you to hopefully change those bad habits?
I think some of them do.
Oh, some don't?
And some don't.
Oh, okay.
And it's very important.
I think
important.
The don't is larger than the do.
I'm sure more people would rather have the don'ts because they love spending.
Sure. Wow.
Well, and there you have to be very careful and really stay on top of the debt consolidation company and monitor what they're doing because you're making a payment to them,
right?
Trusting that they're going to pay off your creditors.
But you got to make sure that they're making the payments.
Okay.
Because that doesn't always happen, and they're just anxious to take your money.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, because you're giving up control. I mean, you're trusting them to pay your debt, but it's going on your credit score and your credit report when it doesn't get paid off.
Yeah, you need to do the hard work yourself. You call your creditors, make sure that there's a way, and I'm sure there's a way that they will work with you to maybe reduce your interest or extend the terms of your account. It's not really smart money management to give up control of your financial future to a group of people you don't even know.
So if you're going to use or thinking about using a debt consolidation firm, be very, very careful. Another really bad way to pay off debt is a home equity line of credit. You know, once you've owned a house for a few years, it typically goes up in value. And at the same time, you're paying down your mortgage balance. So over time, your home is worth more than you owe on it.
So it looks like the equity in your house is really like free money. It's just sitting there. It's like a big cherry waiting to be picked. Here's the way I'm going to pay off my debt. If your house is worth, say, $200,000 and your mortgage is down to $150,000, then you think you've got $50,000 available to pay off your debt. But, you know, if you haven't changed your lifestyle, things are not going to change. So you're going to spend that money to pay off the debt, and then you're just going to rack it all back up again. Plus, you don't have that equity value in your house.
And if you don't make the payment on the home equity line, it's like not paying your mortgage, right? They can take the house away from you?
If you have a home equity line of credit and you don't make the payments on the home equity line of credit, they can take your house away. If you don't pay your mortgage, then they eventually will take your house away. But when you rack up credit card debt, they can't take your house away because you've got all that credit card debt. But when you're using your house as equity for the loan, then they can. So it's a slippery slope.
It's a real slippery slope because you could lose your house and you could rack up more debt.
You'd rack up a lot of debt and then also ruin your credit score totally.
Yeah, not good. What about selling your house? Do you think selling your house is a good way to get out of debt?
Well, I think you have to think about that one for a little bit. It's not that easy of a thing to do. If you don't have a lot of equity in there, then it's a problem. But, you know, you think about your situation. If you got too much house and the upkeep and the maintenance is costing a bundle, maybe it's a good idea to have a smaller house. Or, you know, if you're an empty nester and the house is too big now and the kids are moved out and, you know, you've got all these costs associated, maybe it's a good time to sell the house and downsize. But when you do that, you want to take all the cash that you get from the sale of the house and apply it to the new house. You don't want to, you know, just go out and get a whole nother mortgage, which is, I think, kind of a natural thing to do. People and mortgages, houses and mortgages, they just seem like they go together.
So if you're thinking about selling your house, do the math. Your current house may be worth more than you think it is, or it may be worth less than you think it is. And you need to understand the costs for both selling your current home and buying the new house, because you're going to have to spend it on realtor's fees when you sell. Right.
And on realtor's fees when you buy.
And on all the closing costs when you buy.
Right.
And then there's a lot of extra things that come up with getting into a new house, like the escrow account that you need to set up and things that you may need to buy for the house and the moving costs and all that. So it may not make financial sense to downsize.
Plus, if you're moving into a different area and you've got different companies that provide utilities, you may have to pay new deposits for water and sewer and electricity and all those kinds of things. So you got to really understand what the cost of the move is going to be in total, not just, well, I'm going to have a cheaper house and my house payment's going to go down to this, or I'm not going to have a house payment or whatever.
Well, the other thing that occurred to me while you were talking is the cost of living, the general cost of living in the area where you're moving to. You know, are taxes higher? Are groceries higher? Is the restaurant meal higher? That kind of thing.
Yeah, if you're going to move to, you know, a different state even, then you've got to consider all
that
stuff.
Too.
Yes, absolutely. And then, you know, licensing your cars and stuff. Sometimes the excise tax on a car in a new state can be, you know, $1,000 or more.
So downsizing and moving to a new house and using some of the equity from the old house may make sense, but you really need to do the math and understand exactly what you're getting into.
Absolutely right. Absolutely. So do we want to, let's talk about a 401k loan. You know, that's another source of money. And, you know, we've borrowed money from it before, many years ago.
It's a sin of our past.
Yes, yes.
We've confessed and done reparation for it.
If you borrow money from your retirement fund and don't repay it, and or you leave the company, then you're going to have to pay a 10% penalty plus taxes if you're younger than age 59 and a half.
Well, I thought if you left the company, you could just move your 401k to a different company.
But you have to clear the boards first. So you got to be up to snuff. All loans have to, anytime you move from one company to, everything's got to be back to norm.
Okay, so if you took a loan out, then that you have to
that's
pay that
gotta
back.
That's got to be paid back.
Okay.
So if you're going to take money out and you don't think you're going to pay it back, you got to think about it. If you were going to pull $30,000 out to pay a debt and you're less than 59 and a half and you're not going to pay it back, the penalty, 10%, is $3,000. And let's say you're taxed at a 28% rate on your income tax. That's another $8,400 of really penalty. So out of the $30,000, you get $18,600, not $30,000. So you've actually wasted $11,400 in taxes and penalties. And if you're 30 years away from retirement, the future value of that $11,400 is almost $87,000. The future value of the 401, even in just 15 years, if you're earning 8%, could be just over $95,000. So taking money out of your 401k is really borrowing from your future.
Yeah, I love the way you look at that, borrowing from your future. You know, we have coached several people who did borrow from their IRAs without thinking of the consequences. So look for areas to cut before taking drastic steps like borrowing from your future. This is Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries. You need help getting rid of your debt? Well, check out CompassCatholic.org. See how we can help you eliminate your debt so you can live totally debt-free. That's CompassCatholic.org. And today, John and Evelyn are discussing paying off your debt, the bad things people fall into to pay off that debt. You know, John, Audra and I have coached a number of couples and individuals over the many years, and we have found a few that have dipped into the emergency funds, and they look at that money as extra money to help pay off the debt. So, good idea, bad idea?
That might be a tempting way to have a pot of money that you can pay off your debt with. But don't do it. When you drain your emergency fund, that's a sure sign that other problems are going to pop up. You know, the car needs a new transmission, or you get into an automobile accident, or there's a huge storm, a hurricane, or tornado, or there's a layoff at work. Don't mess with your emergency fund. You'll have to go into more debt to cover the emergency, and that is really demotivating.
Yeah, it does look like there's a pot of money sitting there if you have a good, nice, healthy emergency fund. But you need to keep at least $1,000 in the bank in an emergency fund at all times, and then try to build the emergency fund from up to 3 months and then up to 6 months worth of income. And ideally, a whole year's worth of income in the bank is a great cushion for any type of emergency, especially in the case of a job loss.
So, you know, that's not going to happen overnight, getting as much as 6 months is a pretty hard thing to do. But so you got to keep focused on that and strive for that. And if you start taking money out for just to pay off ordinary debt,
and you don't change your lifestyle because you're using your savings to pay off debt.
Yeah, it's not a good idea. Not a good idea.
What about starting your own business? Doesn't that seem like a tempting way to pay off debt?
It sure did 30 years ago. You know, if you're in debt, you may feel like it's because I just don't earn enough money and I want to be in control of my own destiny. And so you start your own business. And I guess we got two words for that, right, Evelyn?
Be careful.
Be careful. You know, you might need to have a huge investment to get started. It depends on the type of business. And then the question comes up, what are you going to do? How are you going to live until the business becomes profitable? You know, if you quit your day job and go with your night job and you're not earning even what you were on your day job.
Plus you got into debt because you were funding the startup cost of the business.
It just sounds like a huge sinking ship.
It's a quagmire of debt. Because isn't there some kind of a really bad ratio as far as how many businesses fail within 10 years? I can't remember what it is.
Yeah, I think it's like 60 to 70% of businesses fail in the first 10 years. And if you have to take out a loan to get started and you don't make enough money to support yourself, you'll be in even more debt than you were when you started.
Oh, but John, all these people on TV are like flipping houses in a half an hour and they make $40,000, $50,000, $80,000. Isn't that a good idea?
Yeah, and they still have painted fingernails too. I don't think so. That, you know, that takes a real skill, not just a building skill, you know, being able to build and construct and demolish and all that
design,
kind of stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Pick colors.
But you've got to be able to pick the right houses. And it takes a lot of knowledge, housing knowledge and local real estate knowledge in order to be able to do that. And those people are the exception. They're not the rule.
Well, and if they have to buy the house with a mortgage, that's just more debt in order to make some amount of money that's undetermined.
Well, and if they don't, if you pay attention to those reality TV shows, they are very conscious of the amount of time that they own that piece of property.
Yes.
4 weeks to 6 weeks, and they are really starting to feel the squeeze because they've already had to make at least one payment on that house. And they don't want to make anything more.
So unless you have the skills and the knowledge, that's something to stay away from.
Absolutely.
What about going back to school and getting an advanced degree? That'll help me make more money and I can pay off debt faster, right?
Well, that's another sin that I've managed to accomplish in my lifetime.
You've done it all, haven't you?
I hope not.
Maybe you should start the show, Bless Me Father, for
It may look like finishing or maybe even starting your college education is a surefire ticket to make more money. But if you're already in debt, where's the money going to come to fund the tuition for your education? Yeah, you can get low interest loans, but you know what those loans are? More debt. It's not a good idea. And catch this, graduation rates across the nation are about 60% of everybody who starts a higher degree.
Well, the other thing is, if you're earning a salary now and you're trying to get into college to increase your costs or increase the amount of income you get, you're still working full time. So not only are you going to college, but you're also working full time. So do you have the stomach to take care of your family, to work full time and to go to college full time? That's an awfully big load.
It takes a lot of night studying, and you know, depending on when your classes are, maybe your classes are at night, you got to study at night, you got to work all day, and you still got to take care of the house, you know, be part of a family. It's a very trying situation.
But you don't have a problem if the employer is paying for the education.
Well, then at least you're not incurring more debt.
Right.
But I don't know how many employers today will actually pay the full amount
right.
for an additional amount of education. When I did it, they paid some. You know, it's a lot of money, and it just adds to your debt.
What about, I've talked to someone who was doing this where they just took the extra money they had, like maybe $50 a month, and put $10 on all their debt, $10 more on each debt that they're making payments on, instead of like concentrating on one debt and getting that one paid off. Is that a good idea or not?
Boy, does that sound motivating to you, Steve?
Not at all.
I don't
it
see...
says I'm going to be paying for the rest of my life.
Yeah, I don't see any motivation there at all. You know, scattering a little bit of extra money on loans across all the loans that you've got really isn't going to get you very far very fast. The lack of progress is just downright depressing. So instead of scattering a little bit of money in every direction, we try to get everybody to pay off the smallest debt first. Take all the money that you can and apply it to that smallest one and just make minimum payments on the rest of your debt loans. The key thing, and it's really motivational, is as you knock out that smallest loan and you take the money you were paying on that smallest loan and you apply it plus the minimum you were paying on the next smallest loan, when you can pay a loan off or a debt off, that's a motivating occurrence.
Oh, it sure is.
Well, I was reading something in the Harvard Business Review, and they said that the snowball, which is what you're talking about here, paying off the smallest one first by concentrating all your extra money on the smallest one and getting rid of that, is the more motivational way to do it. Because their study found that people's perception of progress was not based on the dollar value they were paying off, but it was based on the portion of the balance they paid off. So if you pay off $500 debt and you pay it off 100%, you paid $500 on it and it's paid off, that's more motivation than paying off $500 on a $10,000 debt where you still have debt left.
Yes.
So the payoff is more motivational than anything else. So that's why we recommend that snowball, so that you can get things accomplished and feel good about that and stay motivated.
Yeah, that motivation is the key thing. And that's why we promote that within our Bible studies, is paying off that smallest one first. So, Evelyn, what do you think about borrowing money from mom and dad?
Well, since I'm a mom, I don't think that's a real good idea. You know, if you're not into financial discipline, if you don't have any savings, if you're in debt, if you don't have any plan to recover, why would you want mom and dad to help you? I mean, why would your parents reward you by paying off your debt? They're older than you are. They're planning for their retirement. Why would they spend their hard-earned money bailing you out of financial mistakes that you made?
But don't you love me?
No, not that much. And here's a really bad one. How about playing the lottery in order to win a million and get out of debt?
The odds of winning the Powerball or the Mega Millions are roughly the same. 175 million to one. And despite those odds, one-third of Americans believe that winning the lottery is the only way they're ever going to retire. And that's pretty sad. But you have a better chance of dying in a plane crash, a car accident, falling out of bed, or drowning in the bathtub, or getting bit by a snake or stung by a bee.
Well, tell me some more good news.
The money you use to play the lotto could just as easily be flushed down the drain, and you're going to have the same result. Nothing.
So what about praying? Praying is a great way to pay off debt, because if you include God in your plans and you actually change your lifestyle and implement the discipline we were talking about, you can accomplish things you never thought you could accomplish.
You mean I got to change my lifestyle?
You have to change your lifestyle, buddy. But when you pray along with it, it gives you the courage and the peace and the motivation to stay focused.
Never disregard the power of prayer. In fact, we start every coaching sessions with the people we work with a prayer, asking for wisdom, guidance, patience, and understanding. And if you'd like to share this program with a family member or friend, It's available. Go to compasscatholic.org. On the homepage, click on podcast and look for do's and don'ts for paying off debt. And before we end today's show, let's get to a couple of emails that we received this week. All right, John and Evelyn, here's question number one. We are building a home and have enough saved to put 35% down, but we could afford to put even more down, closer to 60%, if I dip into my Roth IRA. I'd like a smaller mortgage, but my average return on the Roth are several times larger than the mortgage rate. Plus, it grows tax-free. So I don't know what to do. Evelyn, what do you and John think?
Well, you know, it sounds like you're in pretty good financial shape, and I would be very concerned about taking money out of your Roth and having to pay a penalty, especially if you're getting a big return on investment in your Roth, bigger than what you're going to be paying in the mortgage. So I think that you need to keep the money in the Roth and aggressively pay off your mortgage based on the current amount you have available to put as a down payment.
Yes, I would agree with that 100%. That retirement savings is extremely important. And as you say, it will continue to grow and multiply tax-free, which is a huge, huge thing in your retirement. If you can get your house paid off quickly, like Evelyn advised, I'd be very aggressive with that, because the less outgo that you have in your retirement years, the easier it's going to be for you to do some fun things like travel and stuff like that.
Well, you know, the other thing is you're not only losing, if you take money out of your retirement account, you're not only losing the money you took out, but you're losing the interest on that money, the compound interest that that money would bring you over the course of paying off the mortgage. So
yeah, and definitely, that's a significant amount.
Yeah, leave the money in the Roth.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, that's question number two. John and Evelyn, I help out in our youth ministry at church. I often buy things for classes and events out of my own pocket. Because I've been spending my own money, I've not been putting any money into the collection basket. What's your thoughts?
I think it would be better to separate the two items. Contributing to the offertory is part of your participation at Mass. And I would suggest that you make your contribution at Mass and then submit your receipts for money that you're spending for supplies for the youth group to the parish office for reimbursement.
Because that'll help the parish office establish a budget for the youth group. If you're not there, they'll know how much was spent on it. Otherwise, they have no idea.
Absolutely.
If you have a question for John and Evelyn, you'd like some advice, maybe you have a financial challenge that you are experiencing, by all means, they welcome your emails. Send your questions to ask@compasscatholic.org. That's ask@compasscatholic.org. Plus, we hope you check out our website, compasscatholic.org. This is the time of the year for marriages, and John and Evelyn have written a great book for engaged and newly married couples called God, Marriage, and Money. Just click on Books and Studies and take a look at God, Marriage, and Money. For John and Evelyn Bean, I want to thank you so much for listening. And remember, we have that brand new podcast for you each and every Wednesday morning, bright and early. So when you wake up, you can start downloading. Simply go to compasscatholic.org. On the homepage, scroll down, click on podcast, and look for the do's and don'ts of paying off debt. This is Manage Your Money God's Way, and we are from Compass Catholic Ministries.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tours Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com, for faith, fellowship, and love.